two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy 2024! New year, new you, right? Let me guess. You're thinking about joining a new gym, starting a fad diet, buying that Theragun everyone's always yammering on about. I've got a better idea. Listen to my podcast. I'm Samantha Bee, writer, comedian, and host of Choice Words from Lemonada Media. This whole month of January, we're going to help you make better choices in 2024. We'll go beyond superficial hacks and get at the truth of how to lead a more meaningful life. Just search for Choice Words on your podcast player of choice and hit follow so you don't miss an episode. Now that is a good choice.
Lemonada.
In the last 10 years, I think visibility's come a long way. But even if people have heard of it, they don't have any expectations. They may not have met anyone else that's ever identified this way.
Hi, I'm Jeffrey J, and my pronouns are he, him.
And I'm Jason Van Glass, and my pronouns are also he, him.
And we're both asexual comedians.
You're listening to Good Sex. For me, what connects us is that, look, I'm asexual. There's not a lot of out asexual people. And at open mics and comedy shows, you see a lot of like straight white men that are mad at their ex-wives or something. And I usually just feel a rapport with any comedian that's coming from a different angle, because even though I'm a white man, I don't resonate with any of that type of comedy at all. I definitely am an outsider.
Yeah, I was drawn to Jason instantly. So for the one thing, the asexual thing just impressed me. But I think the truth in comedy is what I'm immediately drawn to. Anybody who is genuinely taking this thing that's weird or different about them, or that makes their life a daily struggle or is a complication, and they just genuinely get on stage and talk about it, that's the kind of person I want to be around. All right, so I have a question for you. And as a person who always kind of feels like kind of the newbie, because I came out as asexual way later than you, how do you experience attraction?
Rarely do I experience attraction. I don't think when I do experience, it's the same phenomenon that other people are describing. My attraction, to the extent that it exists at all, seems to be people that are creatively accomplishing things, like painters, or like if I find out someone's doing ceramics, even if it's not like a sexual or dating attraction, I just get very excited when someone's doing a craft. That's like really, I'm like a little bit jealous. I'm a little bit envious. And that to me, that's something that like always piques my interest in someone, when I find out that they are deeply engaged in some sort of craft like that.
I agree. I'm the same thing. Every once in a while, I'll see somebody who'll be like, that person is hot. But I don't feel any sort of urges or anything. And typically, more than anything, I'm just drawn to a person that I want to be friends with. But it is weird to me, because it's been so many years since I've felt like a strong urge to be like genuinely like turned on by a person.
Yeah. And when I do have that spark, even though like I don't think that's the same as when other people have a spark, when I do have that thing, it just piques my interest. I just want to get to know that person or hang out, see that person again or something, because it's like, oh, that's so cool that you do this thing. because yeah, so much of my life is based around trying to finish. I take pleasure in the projects I have finished, but of course, I have more projects than any normal person could finish in one lifetime.
Yeah, but also still more than the average person can finish, because sometimes people still say, like, how did you do all of this? And I was like, I wasn't thinking about wanting to have sex with anybody. I wasn't.
Yeah. A joke from my act is that if you think about how much time you, the audience, have spent in the last 10 years trying to get laid, you have to realize that's all free time for me. It's the setup, at least, to a joke where it's like, I feel like that's the distinguishing characteristic. I just have I have a lot of free time. I'm a stand-up comedian who isn't trying to date anybody. It's all free time. I have a question for you, Jeffrey. It's my understanding from your material that over the course of your life, as you've gotten to know yourself better, you've gone through some different labels. And I'm wondering if it's easier the fourth time you come out.
I don't think coming out ever gets easier. I think you expect it to get easier. I actually have a story about that. I had been working on this thing where I had come out to my dad, and I expected this asexuality coming out to be the easiest one. I was like, hey, Dad, you know that thing you're worried about with me, you know, sex? Like, I'm not having it is what I expected that to be like. Oh, lovely. I don't have to worry about anything. So I said, Dad, I'm asexual. And he was like, you know, your sexual chakra is actually really important. I was like, come on, man. This was the one that was supposed to be easy. And he was like, maybe that's something that you should see someone about. Also, who do I see about a shaman?
Yeah, what are your parents like that chakras entered the equation?
So no, it doesn't get easier. And it also is odd coming out as asexual. In fact, it's been hard for me because in media, there's the common idea that queer people are turned into eunuchs or asexual individuals because they don't want to show sexuality. So it was hard for me to identify because I thought, but this is how I feel. But you guys are telling me that's bad to portray. But I'm sorry that I am the caricature that you think I am, which is the floating around the room. Hi, this is me. I'm crafting and I'm not having sex with anyone and I'm non-threatening and I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think the only stupid question anyone ever asked me once was an implication that my asexuality was because my parents are religious or something. And my parents are actually not religious at all. They're super liberal and super supportive. It has nothing to do with that, of course. But yeah, I live a shame-free lifestyle for sure because that's not part of it at all. I'm not like someone that's trying to join a nunnery or something. That's not the aversion.
Yeah, the other side for me and recently has been things like, oh, have you never, it's because you either never had sex or because you had a bad sexual experience. And for me, that was, I've had so much sex. I've had sex with women and men, I know. And it comes off as like it's not meant to be a brag, but it is nice to say, it's nice to say. But I've had great sex with women, great sex with men, great sex with my partners. And now guess what? I just can't be bothered with it. And I love it. And I don't have the urge and I don't want to have the urge and stop trying to fix it because it's fabulous. And on that note, I'm curious why you felt so many years ago the want or need to come out as asexual.
I don't know if I felt the need to come out. It's just part of my life. And when it comes up, it comes up. And once I found that label for myself, it clarified so many things that had already been happening for more than a decade or whatever. It's like, oh, okay, that just makes sense. And I guess I value self-knowledge and I value seeing things clearly to the best of our ability. And so when you find a label that makes everything fall in place, that's a really useful label. And so I never had some big, no one's ever gotten like a big tearful reveal or anything. It's just part of my life. The same as like, yeah, I have a dog, or I have, you know, I live in this neighborhood. It's just like part of me. And when it's relevant, it's relevant.
Do you want to be a guest on Good Sex, either solo or with someone else? Well, fill out the form in the episode notes for a chance to appear on the podcast. And don't worry, it'll be safe and fun, just like the show. If you're enjoying today's episode of Good Sex, you can hear more from Jeffrey. He's one of the main characters on Limonada's Being Trans podcast. It's audio reality, like reality TV, but for your ears. Find Being Trans wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. And of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Hi, I'm June Diane Raphael.
And I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And each week we are sitting down to talk all about life's twists, turns, and absurdities on The Deep Dive.
From exploring the depths of TikTok, which is our only news source, to navigating the complexities of grief and loss, we are just two best friends behind a mic processing life together.
This podcast is all about finding the silver linings in the madness. So get ready for unfiltered conversations about motherhood, careers, pop culture, and everything in between.
Here at The Deep Dive, we're all about community. We believe in the power of sharing experiences and the strength that comes from supporting one another, and we would love to have you with us.
So be sure to join us every Wednesday on The Deep Dive from Lemonada Media, wherever you get your podcasts.
My next question is actually how you feel about being sexualized or the object of crushes.
I think I like it. I think I like being the object of crushes and things because I think I asexualize it again, where I go like, that's sweet and that's cool and that's cute. I get myself in trouble sometimes, more often than not, because I assume that other adult humans also just want to and do have slumber parties all the time. And more than once in my life, I have ended up in bed with somebody where I just thought we were having a great time and that we were having a sleepover. And then they would lean over and kiss me and be like, oh, this person likes me. And then sometimes we would even have sex. Like, we would be like, and it would be lovely. But I did not know it was coming.
I've definitely been there a couple times. I think you're very, like you say, like outgoing. And so I think, A, I'm oblivious to whatever flirting is maybe sometimes happening with me. But also I think my persona is not giving off the same playfulness or something. It's not. And so it's like, yeah, I do want, we should hang out and play video games or something. These things that could be construed as like dating things, but it's like, no, it's just fun to hang out. I don't know why we'd want to do anything else per se.
Yeah. I don't want to get sweaty. I would like to do crafts in full AC. On that note of being sexualized, I started working out after I got sober. And when I say work out, I play VR video games, dancing games. That's all I do. But I do it a lot. And I really love it. And I ended up getting almost like abs, almost. I've got a tummy. It's cool. It's like a hard tummy. And how much I loved just like doing things for me, where I'm me and I look like me because I want to be me and I like me. and there's no sexual drive about it. And I find myself being way happier with my body because it's just all for me.
And maybe it sounds selfish, but yeah, I do everything for myself. And it's liberating. I'm not trying to live my life in a way that will appeal to some swath of other random people I haven't met yet. I'm not trying, you know. And so I can dress in the fun clothes I want to dress in. I can read the weird books I want to read. I'm not trying to mold myself to be acceptable to some dating pool. And yeah, everything I do is for myself, but that's like empowering to me. It's not selfish. It's a liberation theology for sure.
Has your asexuality caused any challenges in building and maintaining relationships or friendships? Or do you think there's strength in it?
Do you feel that it's affected you?
No, I don't. And I have the added benefit of being in a relationship, which is its own separate bit of navigating with somebody who is not asexual when I am asexual. And it was both freeing and it's been a lot of conversation and making sure we're both happy. But do you want a relationship, and what would you be looking for if you did?
I just want to be invited to dinner parties. I'm sure that they're happening, and I want to come to the dinner party. I am totally open to a relationship. I just don't know how I would get from point A to point C, because the apps and other things are very sex-centric, as far as I can tell. And I think a relationship would be really healthy and really good. And I just don't know how to get there. It's definitely created a challenge to having relationships, because most people prioritize sex. It's at the top of the list or close to it, as far as I can tell. And as you mentioned with like sleepover slumber parties or something, it's like, no, to me, it's not that I wouldn't have sex with someone in a relationship, but it wouldn't be the purpose or point or the main thing. The main thing is like, it's more fun to watch a movie with someone than by myself. And usually I watch them by myself, but it's more fun to do stuff with people. And so much of our culture in our 20s and 30s is built around like a dating expectation, that it's hard to be the third wheel or just be out on your own and try and get involved in things when everyone else is pairing up. To me, it's not just the opportunity to share the things you're passionate about, but it's a chance to learn about the things they're passionate about and maybe share them or maybe not. Meet the people they know that are different, but maybe not totally different than your social circle. It's everything in our society is built around this expectation of being in a pair, and I don't know. I think I would be very happy in a sexless marriage.
We're gonna be asexual sex icons. If you'd like to hear more from me or Jason, you can find me at Hey Jeffrey J.
You can find me at Jason Van Glass.
Thanks for listening to Good Sex.
Good Sex is a Limonata Media original. The show is produced by Keegan Zema and Donnie Mathias. Our supervising producer is Jorge Olivares. Executive producers are Stephanie Whittles-Wax and Jessica Cordova Kramer. Music is by Dan Molad and APM Music. If you like Good Sex, please rate and review us. Listen and follow for new episodes each week wherever you're listening right now. And if you want more Good Sex, subscribe to Limonata Premium for some quickies, additional conversations between our guests, only on Apple Podcasts.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere? and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time. Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out on April 24th, wherever you get your podcasts.